The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, May 5th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be the beginning of our new summer lineup here at 420radio.org. I encourage you to check it out at 420radio.org/programs. Basically, what we've done is we're going to give you more of what you tune into 420 Radio for. More replays of the Russ Belville Show and more replays of Toker Talk Radio. You can catch the show at 3, 6, and 9 a.m. and p.m. Pacific Time, and Toker Talk Radio at 4 and 7 a.m. and p.m. Pacific Time. Also, our music lineup, Viper Hour, Electric Bob, Gordon Green, Big Daddy Fink, and Herb Thrasher, will be live at their regular 8 p.m. Spots Monday through Friday. Also replayed at 5 a.m., 8 a.m., and 5 p.m. of their day. So you get more replays of our music programs. And then 40 hours of our replay content will air between 10 and 2 a.m. and p.m. Pacific Time, so you'll be able to remember exactly when they're on, and each show is on its specific day. So check that out, 420radio.org/programs. Now, on today's show, it's inspired by two of my favorite people in Denver, Colorado, Dr. Christian Thurstone and Christine Tatum, his wife. They are associated with Denver Med Health, which is Christian Thurstone's rehab business. Christine today was complaining about the poor service she was receiving at a Lowe's home improvement warehouse because, gosh darn it, they can't find enough people to pass P-tests. We'll talk about that in Behind the Headlines. And then in the Radical Rant, Dr. Christian Thurstone has a slideshow he's been presenting across the country, across Colorado, to fight against marijuana legalization and commercialization. I'm going to show you how a couple of his slides actually argue for legalization and regulation as we get to the Radical Rant. And of course, on Monday, as we always do at half past, we're going to visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll take your live questions at 971-533-7111. We're also going to talk about that study that said supposedly that there's brain changes among people that use marijuana, and a couple of other studies that have happened over the past couple of weeks while we've been out. So we'll talk to Dr. Mitch at half past. Also got the 420 Radio News new poll coming out of Florida that is just wonderful for medical marijuana. We've also got some news coming out of the Drug Enforcement Administration allowing more government weed. And Earl Blumenauer, my congressman, speaking at the Global Cannabis March in Portland, will have it in its entirety in hour two after the 420 break. The news is next.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. 420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, May 5th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Support for medical marijuana in Florida ranges from 80 to 93%, according to the latest Quinnipiac poll. Overall, 88% of Floridians support, quote, allowing adults in Florida to legally use marijuana for medical purposes if their doctor prescribes it, with the lowest support at 80% among Republicans and the second highest support at 93% among Democrats. No gender, age, or racial demographic showed less than 84%. Florida's Question 2 is a constitutional amendment legalizing medical marijuana in November that requires 60% of the vote. Additionally, 53% of Floridians support, quote, allowing adults in Florida to legally possess small amounts of marijuana for personal use, end quote, with women's support 10 points behind men's and only one-third of Republicans and seniors in support. 45% of Floridians admit to having tried marijuana themselves, but 82% agree with the president that marijuana is no more harmful than alcohol, and 54% do not believe that marijuana is a gateway drug. Speaking of Florida, a quick correction. Florida's legislature has approved a CBD-only bill by 111-7 in the House and 30-9 in the Senate. Governor Rick Scott has said he will sign the bill when it reaches his desk. Last week, we had reported Florida was racing Iowa and Missouri, whose legislatures also have passed CBD-only bills, to become the sixth CBD-only state. We regret our error, as currently there are five CBD-only states, Alabama, Kentucky, Utah, Mississippi, and Wisconsin, and we had misidentified South Carolina in place of Kentucky. The bills in South Carolina, Iowa, Missouri, and Florida still await governor's signature and could leave us with nine CBD-only states, along with 21 whole-plant medical marijuana states by the end of the week. The Drug Enforcement Administration, or DEA, has given approval for the production of 30 times more government-grown marijuana than previously allotted for 2014. According to the DEA, the National Institutes on Drug Abuse, or NIDA, notified the DEA that it required additional supplies of marijuana to be manufactured in 2014 to provide for current and anticipated research efforts involving marijuana, end quote. The DEA agreed that the quota should be increased from 21 kilograms to 650 kilograms, quote, in order to provide a continuous and uninterrupted supply of marijuana in support of DEA-registered researchers who were approved by the federal government to utilize marijuana in their research protocols, end quote. Trials involving medical marijuana and post-traumatic stress, multiple sclerosis, and epilepsy are underway. GW Pharmaceuticals, a British drug firm, is working through FDA trials on Sativex, a balanced THC CBD spray, and Epidiolex, a CBD extract for treatment of epilepsy. Four Americans also receive a tin of government marijuana for medicinal purposes, though the two in Iowa are currently in danger of falling out of the now-closed federal medical marijuana program as they have lost their recommending doctor. Congressman Earl Blumenauer gave the keynote address at this year's Global Cannabis March in Portland's Pioneer Courthouse Square. Representative Blumenauer called on Oregon to be a leader of states in legalization as it was in 1973, when it became the first state to decriminalize marijuana possession. Representative Blumenauer told of a teetotaler legislative colleague from the 1970s that compared a carton of smokes, a fifth of Jack Daniels, and a joint, asking why the ones that killed you were illegal and the one that never killed anyone is a crime. Representative Blumenauer said the political wisdom at the time was, quote, if the 19 votes we got were joined by those legislators who voted no but smoked dope, we'd have been the first state to legalize way back then, end quote. Representative Blumenauer also called for removing marijuana from Schedule 1 so researchers could better study its medical applications. Uruguay released its rules today for commercial marijuana, and as legalization goes, there are restrictions many consumers would not appreciate. The government will be in complete control of marijuana from seed to sale, emulating the Colorado program of barcoding plants. But Uruguay takes it to a whole new level by only producing 5 varieties of cannabis that will be genetically identified and sold in radio frequency tagged bags. Anyone caught in possession of marijuana not in an RFID tagged bag will have it inspected by authorities, and if it is not one of the 5 government varieties, criminal penalties will apply. The 5 varieties also will be less than 15% THC, and the people buying it from government stores must be registered with the government, supply their fingerprint for every purchase, and are limited to 10 grams per week. But hey, it only costs $1 a gram. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, May 5th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at Christine Tatum's complaints about the poor customer service at Lowe's and why she'd rather have that than a marijuana smoker with a job. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go! .org is proud to replay Drug Truth Network Cultural Baggage with Dean Becker from Houston, Texas. Pioneering marijuana radio activist Dean Becker continues his illustrious career interviewing reform luminaries on his Century of Lies and Cultural Baggage shows from Pacifica's KPFT in Houston. Catch the replays Wednesday at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where Christine Tatum would rather have bad service than not piss testing, also known as Lowe's clings to service-killing job discrimination. And as Colorado continues evolving as the first state with a constitutionally protected right to grow and consume cannabis, the prohibitionists in the state stand at the vanguard, eager to sound the alarm at what they perceive to be the greatest public policy failure since the 21st Amendment allowed alcohol sales again. One such siren for marijuana's contribution to public disorder is Christine Tatum. She is the wife of Denver area rehab entrepreneur Dr. Christian Thurstone. Her latest indication of the marijuana apocalypse? The service sucks at Lowe's. Now, Lowe's, if you don't know, is one of America's two big box home improvement chains. They're the blue one and Home Depot's the other one, the orange one. Christine was in a very long line at the checkout at Lowe's when a woman in line with her explained, quote, "The problem isn't just here in the garden center. The whole store is understaffed," end quote. While in line, Christine called the customer service number at Lowe's corporate offices, and what she found out is that Lowe's stores in Colorado are having trouble keeping a full staff because too many of its job applicants are discriminated against for the now legal marijuana metabolites found when Lowe's tests their piss. Christine writes, quote, "Wonder of wonders, Lowe's doesn't want people acutely or subacutely under the influence of marijuana operating forklifts, using circular saws, cutting ceramic tiles, driving company trucks, or cleaning its toilets," end quote, Christine writes, proud that her pristine ass never has to touch a Lowe's toilet seat cleaned by a pothead. She continues, quote, "And no, the company isn't interested in lowering its hiring standards either," said Amy, the friendly and always approachable manager at my favorite Lowe's store, end quote. Now, let me just go back to what she said about there. Acutely means under the influence of THC. I agree there. I don't want people operating forklifts, cutting tile, you know, all that kind of stuff in a Lowe's if they're acutely under the influence of active THC in their system. I got to agree with you there. But subacutely means under the influence of THC-COOH or carboxy-THC, marijuana's inert, non-impairing metabolite. What's that you say? They're non-impairing metabolites? Well, of course, but you're paying too much attention to science. In the prohibitionist world, they believe such things as subacute marijuana impairment, which means since THC is stored in fat cells, it's lipophilic, and slowly released, someone who smokes pot can't even be trusted to clean a toilet until they piss clean after a week or a month of abstinence. Now, there's no scientific basis for this belief. People not acutely stoned show no difference from sober folks. But there was no scientific basis for not hiring the Irish or forcing black people to use separate water fountains either. Christine explains, quote, "I'm willing to wait a little longer in line because I like the company so much, but I suspect I'm an exception, not the rule. And as a long-standing and loyal customer, I certainly don't want Lowe's to lower its hiring standards or even feel pressured to do so," end quote. Great. So Lowe's will keep discriminating against legal pot smokers, but not legal drinkers. The Colorado Constitution will remain intact. They're not going to repeal marijuana in the Constitution, Christine. And Christine Tatum and her Lowe's-loving family will be forced to suffer terribly long lines and ineffective customer service, which in the long run will cost Lowe's business. Not just because Lowe's can't have legal cannabis consumers driving forklifts and cutting tile, but Lowe's can't even have legal cannabis consumers cleaning toilets and operating cash registers. Gee, businesses and their loyal customers suffer when they're prejudiced. Somehow I'm finding it difficult to feel sorry for them. Gosh, Christine Tatum's going to have to spend extra time at Lowe's. Maybe not find the exact part she was looking for, or might have to wait in a long line. Because if we don't take the piss from employees to find out whether they're doing something constitutionally protected in their off hours, Why? That would be an unsafe workplace and we can't have that. Well, Christine, I'm glad you get to suffer in those long lines. I really am. All right, folks, time for our break. And when we come back from break, it's Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes. We've been doing a little bit of classic rock lately. We got more for you from Canada's own Rush with Bacon Dan when we come back. Stick around.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ.
Oh, marijuana.
On the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, marijuana.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 and a half after the hour, and last time we talked to Bacon Dan, PDX was not very happy. This time we talked to Bacon Dan and Rip City has risen. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Russ. Let me just say, this year's March was so much fun. Definitely better crowd energy than last year. And yeah, we're still riding high on Rip City fever here in the great Pacific Northwest. So it's things are good here, man.
Did you happen to be out around downtown or anything that night when Lillard hit the series clinching 0.9 second three-pointer? I bet downtown was just crazy.
Downtown was actually pretty much all of Portland was. I was at the Green Dragon right after and somebody streaked past it celebrating. So
streak. We got streakers. It's 1977 all over again, people. That's a beautiful thing. All right. So today we get a little bit of Canadian music. I don't know if this is because, you know, the hockey playoffs are going on, because you're homesick or what, but tell us what you got for us.
All right. Today we got Rush's Fly By Night. It's just, you know, it's weird. Sometimes I know it's shocking to believe that somebody like me who has a framed copy of 2112 in their living room would ever put Rush on, but I just felt it was a really good day for some Rush. You know, this is off their second album, the iconic album with the snowy owl flying over the snow-covered trees and everything. It's one of my favorite albums. It's a great song. And this was a song, when I landed in Portland, when I first moved here last year, this was kind of a song I had going on as I walked through the airport. So right, always has a special memory for me.
All right. It's just a great time to be in Portland as well. We had over the weekend, I believe, the Blazers, the Thorns, the Timbers, and the Winterhawks all won. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes, what? They did.
Yeah. How many draws have the Timbers gotten now?
Too many. This was unfortunately our first win of the season.
All right. Well, we'll keep up on that. We'll do more sports on the Herb Thrasher Show on Fridays. But right now, it's time for Rush.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical RUSS on the Russ Belville Show.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana, and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you. Drug Truth Network Cultural Baggage with Dean Becker from Houston, Texas, replaying Wednesdays at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour, and we are joined by Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany, all the way across the country. Thanks for being here, Dr. Mitch.
My pleasure.
As we usually do when we start off this show, we want to remind folks that you can get your live question asked every Monday right here at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 6:30 Eastern, with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Just give us a call at 971-533-7111. And if it's not live, call anyway, because we have a voicemail and you can leave your question by voicemail if you prefer. Also, you can get into our chat room via ustream.tv. There's a bunch of folks in there. They'll tell you how to participate. We got some great moderators out there. All right. But we always start off by giving Dr. Mitch the first word in what is the latest in cannabis science.
Actually, you beat me to it this time, pointing out a bunch of stuff that ended up in the news, including some really confused reporting about marijuana's link to heart problems, a wild simultaneous alcohol and cannabis study and driving, and some even more confusing data on medical marijuana and neurological disorders. So I'm not sure where you want to start. Right?
Well, let's start with the heart problems one, because that one got a big splash. I saw it in Newsday, but it got repeated in newspapers and media outlets all around the world that there was this new study. I think it was a French fella, something about, oh my God, what we thought we knew, we never knew. Marijuana is so bad for the heart. What can you tell us on this?
I mean, the sad thing is, the study itself isn't that bad. It's a subset of folks who are reported to the French government whenever you come in and you've got an obvious drug dependence problem, they have to sort of report that in. And so they took a subset of these folks who happen to be allegedly having problematic cannabis use and found the ones that had some cardiovascular problems, and then sort of walk through, well, what kind of cardiovascular problems do you have if you're a problematic cannabis user and you're having cardiovascular problems? And it was really descriptive, relatively small, and not a big deal. But suddenly the media got to it and said marijuana is linked to cardiovascular problems. Well, in fact, we don't know, because there was nobody in the sample who didn't smoke marijuana and there was nobody in the sample who didn't have cardiovascular problems. So we got nothing here. So it was really crazy. Yeah, cannabis can increase your heart rate. We've got at least two studies, larger epidemiological things, saying there's definitely no link. Paul Armentano's talked about another study where they had folks who'd already had a heart attack and looked at those guys and who smoked marijuana, and they were no more likely to die. I mean, it was just a completely confused, freaked out way to report something that really wasn't what was in the literature.
How many of these alarmist studies could we quash every year if the media were required to take training in what the hell a control group is?
I mean, I would think at least half a dozen. The irony is the very next week we had a study come out saying marijuana really doesn't seem to have any negative effects in pregnancy. and not a single newspaper or station I picked it up. And I just thought, well, this is curious. So, yeah, I'm afraid there's a bias as well as some willful ignorance on this one. Yeah.
All right, the next one that came up, this pot-booze combo, more dangerous for teen drivers than alcohol alone. It's reminiscent to me. I mean, we've covered numerous studies that have shown that, you know, mixing marijuana and alcohol exacerbates both. So I don't know if this is a bad thing for us to be telling people.
Well, in fact, it's curious because we've seen better studies than this in the lab where if you're at 0.05 blood alcohol concentration and you just smoked a joint, you really are worse off than if you'd done either one of those. But this was just a bunch of high school students, literally over 70,000 of them, and they asked them, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done them both at the same time? And did you get a ticket? Have you had a warning? Have you had an accident? And stuff like that. And so they're not randomly assigned. So what a surprise. The people who are willing to smoke pot and drink alcohol and drive are also the ones who are probably a little more disinhibited behind the wheel. So I don't want to blame this so much on substances as those of us who love that front car and the roller coaster and are willing to do that, are we also such crazy sensation seekers that we're doing some other stuff that's not so smart? And I would love to spread the word that, guess what? Don't drive at all, because driving is really dangerous, but definitely not with cannabis and alcohol in your system.
Yeah, that's something I see happening in a lot of these studies as well. So-called studies or reviews is that they're self-selecting. They're people that are already doing dangerous things, so perhaps we're just seeing that they're more likely to do dangerous things. Again, how many studies or how many stories could we quash if we just got that concept across to people?
Well, and again, so in the abstract of this, they point out that really this is driven mostly by alcohol use frequency. The people who are the ones who are drinking alcohol more times per week are also the ones who are usually getting more of these tickets and things like that. And that's really an alcohol problem more than anything else. The fact that cannabis on top of it is probably an indicator of sort of disinhibited driving is really the way to think about it. But I shudder to think what's going to happen when the news gets a hold of this.
Yeah. Anything new on the idea of substitution or complementation of these two, alcohol and marijuana, that people that use one are less likely to use the other or more likely to use the other?
What's happened is it tends to be expectancy mediated. So if you understand that you want to decrease your alcohol consumption and you think cannabis will help, what a surprise it does. And so I think we're going to find these oddball links where sometimes it is a substitute, sometimes it isn't, in part because nobody's measuring these expectancies. Nobody's actually asked. And so at the epidemiological level, sometimes it's a substitute, sometimes it's a complement, but I think it's really an individual difference variable that hasn't gotten measured yet.
Yeah, all I've got is the anecdotal evidence of my own eyes seeing very slow bars wherever there's marijuana at the events I go to. That's all I got. All right, we got a question from our chat room. Electric Bob wants to know, what do we have on the science on dabs, BHO, and their health effects? I mean, what little data we have is usually people smoking government joints of 4% THC. So what do we know about, you know, people taking 1-2 gram dabs daily? I mean, what's going on?
So Mallory, my student, and I have been trying to gather more data on this. And the bottom line is people seem to think that if they're doing dabs, they're developing tolerance more rapidly than if they're smoking flower cannabis. And that is literally cutting-edge research in this field right now.
Okay.
So it's unfortunate, and I'm hoping some of my colleagues in Colorado and Washington can take some bigger steps than the steps I've taken so far, but this is really where we are right now. I do think that fits pharmacological models, where the more THC you have, the more likely you are to develop tolerance to it. And I keep saying a little dab will do you.
Yeah. Just a general question about that. You know, this is something that's even carried over from the flower smoking culture and using a Bic lighter. The idea that you're going to get butane from either the flame of the Bic lighter or from the, you know, whatever propane thing that they're using to torch up a dab, that you're going to get a gas from that off of the flame.
And in fact, we don't have any data on that. I mean, we know that, you know, inhaling butane is a terrible idea. If it's already lit, is it really getting through or not? I mean, I could swear I taste it, right? Mm-hmm. It certainly seems like it's there. I mean, I know a bunch of folks who are using, you know, honey beeswax candles and all these other things, and I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. But we just don't have the data one way or another.
We got a follow up. Hi in Hawaii asks, where he was told that BHO gives you brain cancer because of the gas used to make it, the butane for the extracting. Is that true? Does butane cause brain cancer?
So, I mean, if it's done right, there shouldn't really be any residual butane or any other necessarily solvent. But again, we don't have the quality control. The underground market just doesn't have the kind of inspections that we would hope to have on something like that, so we don't know. Obviously, just inhaling butane is carcinogen, and it's not necessarily brain cancer, but puts you at risk for not only cancer, but some of the DNA damage that sort of would lead to cancer anyway. So,
and who knows? Maybe the guy talking to him by BHO meant Barack Hussein Obama. Maybe it was a political
thing.
You never know. All right, and we've also got one more study. This one came out from the neurology.org, I mean the journal of neurologists, basically. A review on the efficacy and safety of medical marijuana in selected neurologic disorders. Takeaway from this that I got was, hey, THC helps with multiple sclerosis. What do you know?
I mean, and in fact, that one's pretty well documented. Some things that we don't normally think of, but urinary dysfunction, kind of strange bladder-related symptoms that are often accompanied to some spinal cord injury that nobody really wants to talk about. It doesn't seem like that's quite working. And then tremor, it seems to be really effective for some disorders, but not others. It really depends on what the origin of your tremor is. So we've seen wonderful cases where folks with cerebral palsy really respond really well. But if you've got a tremor from another neurological condition, it may not be any help at all. It's kind of funny, too, because there were a whole other subset of disorders where they literally threw up their hands and said, we just don't know yet. Things like Parkinson's, Tourette's, cervical dystonia, epilepsy. And I feel like, oh, come on, the epilepsy cases, I know enough folks. But in fact, that's another disorder where it's really heterogeneous. There are subtypes. It may work for some and not for others.
Well, we've seen that with the even the CBD stories with these kids and their epilepsy, having to, you know, adjust dosages and ratios from kid to kid. So, yeah, I don't doubt that at all. One last question here. But before we go, I want to remind the listeners that if you just want to keep this private and you'd like to get some information or get information to Dr. Mitch Earlywine, you can do so through email at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And well, there's unintended consequences in the world. And one of them with the dabbing culture, I saw something spring up on Facebook, which was, what was the worst non-dab thing you ever dabbed? Where people had mistaken something for being oil or butter or shatter and put it on their titanium nail and actually inhaled it. And some people, you know, glob of peanut butter. So there was all sorts of terrible things they were putting down there. How much danger is one in dabbing a mysterious substance that might be, you know, peanut butter, a booger? I don't know. That's just a strange
question.
Well,
I mean, the sad part is, I mean, peanut butter has a soluble fat in it, and that can light on fire. And, you know, at worst, things are going to smell bad, and I mean, at least things are going to smell bad, and at worst, you may really start an outrageous fire. And this has been some of my reluctance to this whole movement is, you know, I never rolled peanut butter in a joint. It just doesn't happen. And so that's where, you know, this sounds old school, but the harm reduction techniques would say, if you're going to dab, make sure you're really dabbing dabs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess I'm an old school philosopher as well, because I have this thing where, you know, marijuana, opium, and coca are plants, but hash, cocaine, and heroin are drugs. You know, once we start concentrating and changing its natural constituency, that's where we start running into, you know, the need for harm reduction, the need to be more careful. So be careful out there. Like Dean Becker says, because of prohibition, you don't know necessarily what you're getting. So be very careful when we're talking about the dabbing. Dr. Mitch, thanks so much for joining us here every Monday on our Cannabis Science segment, and we will see you the next time.
Looking forward to it.
All right, folks, when we come back, a little radical rant for Dr. Christian Thurstone and his neuroimages. We call them PowerPoint slides, but for him, they're neuroimages.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420.
I'm not saying he's a loser or anything.
He's a dork.
Dork!
Yeah. I mean, no. We're not like, you know, we're having fun being cool, and he's just into different stuff. Well, I hang out with my friends mostly.
Girls think I'm cool.
But he's, you know, I'm into sports. Well, I used to be into sports, but now, well...
Yeah, chicks dig me.
Well, I guess he has friends, too. I think having girlfriends is okay, but, you know...
We like to party, right?
Guys like him, they don't like to party. Like we do. You know, we're having a lot of fun.
Truth is, there's a million things to do that are more fun than sitting around getting stoned.
Yeah, we like to party. Did I say that already?
Think.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Today, folks, a prohibitionist makes the case for marijuana legalization. As marijuana was becoming legal in Colorado, one man loudly campaigned against it. His name is Dr. Christian Thurstone, a board member of Project SAM, and he is one of the Denver area's largest rehab entrepreneurs. He makes money when people pay for his rehab services. Whether that's the occasional heroin addict in serious need of mental and physical rehabilitation or... Who am I kidding? Dr. Chris makes his money when young people are caught with weed and forced by their parents, schools, or the criminal justice system to get marijuana rehab. Now, I'd tell you what proportion those marijuana users make of Dr. Chris's business, but he is notoriously shy about releasing any statistics from his practice unless he can make a prohibition point with them. For instance, he once noted how kids were coming into his rehab and testing positive for over 500 nanograms of THC. I thought that wasn't true myself because the legal limit for stoned driving is 5 nanograms of active THC in the bloodstream. And the studies I've seen, immediately after toking, THC spikes at about 100 nanograms. And you know that college kid who just jumped off the balcony after eating a medicated cookie? He only turned up with 7.2 nanograms in his autopsy. So I wrote to Dr. Chris to ask if he really meant carboxy THC, the inactive marijuana metabolite, testing at 500 nanograms and more. Nope, Nope, he insisted they tested for active THC, making me wonder how those teenagers were even able to walk, much less sign into a rehab for their marijuana addiction. But I can tell you what the statistics are for most of the drug rehabs in the United States as of 2011, any of them that take public funds. When it comes to those placed in rehab for marijuana alone, as of 2011, over half of the admissions are forced by the criminal justice system. That's 53% forced there into rehab by the criminal justice system. And another quarter, it's actually 25.5%, are referrals from schools and employers over failed piss tests. Only about 15% of admissions for marijuana alone in rehabs that get public money were cannabis consumers that were self-admitting to treat what they considered to be a problem with their use. Now, compare that to Dr. Chris's other customers, the people who use drugs other than marijuana. Any other drug other than marijuana, and we're not including alcohol in this one, any other drug but marijuana. For those people, criminal justice only forced a third of them, 33.1%, to rehab, and another ninth, 11.1%, were sent in for failing work or school drug tests. Right? 75% or 78% of marijuana users alone sent by criminal justice, school, or employer, 44% sent by school, employer, or justice if it was any other drug. And for those people using any other drug, nearly 2 out of 5 referred themselves to rehab. It was 38.8% referred themselves to rehab when they felt they had a drug problem. Here's some other stats. Now, understand that when it comes to the primary or secondary substance used by a rehabber, if you took 5 average rehabbers, there'd be about 2 of them there for drugs, 42%. There'd be another 2 of them there for alcohol, about 37%. And there'd be 1 there for marijuana. A little Mr. Spock salute there, right? So you got your drugs, your alcohol, your marijuana, 21%. And if we look at just the pot smokers, among those, more than half of them used pot less than once a week. And over a third of them, it's like 37%, didn't use pot for a whole month before rehab. Boy, that's some addiction. If you can kick it cold turkey for a month before rehab. All right, so think it out here, people. If you're in the business of rehab, among 100 customers, you'll have about 40 druggies, 40 drunks, and 20 potheads. Excuse the terminology, just using it for effect. Of those 20 potheads, about 10 of them were forced there by a court. Another 5 of them were forced there by a failed drug test at school or work. Only 5 of your potheads came to your business because they wanted your service. So, under legalization, at least half your marijuana customers, representing 10% of your total clients, not including alcohol, are no longer compelled by arrests and courts to patronize your establishment. Now, in response, rehabitionists like Dr. Christian Thurstone and Dr. Kevin Sabet, well, they know that this is a pretty powerful indictment of the scam of arrests at drug courts and marijuana rehabs, so they always pretend like legalization wouldn't hurt their bottom line. They'll give you some excuse about, well, you know, if we were really after profit, we'd support legalization because it's going to create so many more marijuana addicts for rehab. But think it out. When they're losing half their marijuana customers to legalization, and only half again as many self-admit to rehab for marijuana, wouldn't marijuana use have to increase by double to quadruple for them just to break even? Poor Dr. Chris is so befuddled by the majority of Coloradoans who disagree with him about marijuana's legality that as he travels from city to city to warn about the dangers of the devil's weed, he inadvertently makes the case for legalization. On his website, Dr. Chris features some neuroimages. Now on Earth, we call them PowerPoint slides, but they're neuroimages. And one of his neuroimage sets is called The Social Costs of Marijuana. Now, I downloaded all 14 slides of it today, but there's one about the Dutch marijuana coffee shops that I really don't think that he thought through. It's a slide that shows, it's called the commercial hypothesis, commercialization hypothesis. The source is a study from 2011 in Addiction a Journal on the Netherlands and their commercialization of coffee shops, right? Now, in this slide, on the first, it consists of three spots, three little points on this slideshow, on this slide. And the first point talks about how from 1976 to 1983, the Dutch depenalized marijuana consumption. It's not entirely accurate. The Dutch just made it such a low priority that no adult was harassed by police over personal marijuana use. It's still technically illegal. But as Dr. Chris points out on the slide, under that policy, there was, quote, little change in teen use, end quote. So does Dr. Chris support a policy of tolerance for adult marijuana use? Now, in the middle section, Dr. Chris points out how the coffee shops came into existence from 1984 to 1996. And when they came into existence, there's a huge rise in past month use by people aged 18 to 20. And that would be a damning statistic showing how a 21-year-old age limit, like in Colorado, led to a mass increase in use by underage tokers, except for the third part of the graphic, which shows how from 1984 to 1996, the legal age of entry to a coffee shop was 16 years old. So, use by 18 to 20-year-olds increased when it was legal for 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to get into a coffee shop and smoke pot? The hell, you say? Then, in the third part of the slide, from 1997 to 2005, when the age is raised to 18, there's a drop in use by those aged 15 to 24. I don't know why he doesn't have the 18 to 20-year-old data for the third part. And gosh, Dr. Chris, that makes it sound as if decriminalization didn't raise teen pot use rates and raising the legal age worked to deter underage use. Thanks. That's brilliant. And then we've got his summary slide, the 14th slide in the point. And it's just some points, you know, to take home out of this. And one of the points is the Sabbat conjecture. The hypothesis that since alcohol and tobacco cost $10 to society, for every $1 they bring in tax revenue, marijuana would be just as bad. All right, let's think it out. Recreational marijuana taxes in Colorado have brought forth $6 million in new revenue. So Dr. Chris must expect us to believe that it has cost Colorado $60 million in social costs. And also offset the police and court costs we're not spending now that the average number of marijuana arrests per month, all charges, has dropped from about 800 a month to 100 a month. So where's that $60 million in social costs, Dr. Chris? Marijuana use rates have remained steady at 8%. Crashes and fatalities on the roads have declined. Kids kicked out of school for marijuana use represent 0.04% of the Colorado student population. Travel interest in Denver is up well over last year's numbers. Thousands of people attended a cannabis job fair where hundreds of new jobs in the industry were being filled by people who will be contributing taxpayers. So where's the $60 million in costs? I mean, new costs that weren't already being paid when that same 8% of Coloradoans were illegal tokers. It's fun watching these businesses beholden to marijuana prohibition, screeching their cries of extinction. About 100 years ago, I'm sure buggy whip manufacturers, stagecoach operators, and saddle makers made the same kind of noises, only without any neuro images. Sometimes I feel guilty because it's just too damn easy, my job sometimes. People come at me and say, how can you talk about marijuana for 2 hours a day? I say, sometimes I need three. With all the stupid rhetoric coming out of the losing side in the war on drugs as they fight to not become irrelevant and unemployed. It's beautiful. And we'll be cataloging it every day here on the Russ Belville Show. Replays at 3, 6, and 9 a.m. and p.m. Pacific Time. Stay tuned. Hour 2, Topher Talk Radio is next. We got Representative Earl Blumenauer's full speech at the Global Marijuana March. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed.